Welcome back to the Rock Chalk Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Mitz. Today, we're just doing a quick preview of the NCAA bracket. I have Steve Fetch joining me again, so I will go ahead and get you guys right on over to that interview.
All right, nice little break here. Okay. All right, and I'm joined once again by Steve Fetch, our college basketball editor over at Rock Chalk Talk. Fetch, how you doing tonight?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. So tonight, we're going to go ahead and run through the bracket that actually came out. We're going to do this probably in a couple episodes. What we'll do is we'll just jump from region to region. We'll get that edited together, whatever makes the most sense. But for you guys that are listening to this one, we are going to run through the entire bracket, kind of give an overview of each region, kind of talk about who we think is making a strong push for the region. We will talk about Kansas's matchup and potentially the second round matchup. We'll actually lead off with that and then kind of do an overall bracket wrap up at the very end. So let's go ahead and jump in. Obviously, biggest news for us concerning the NCAA tournament is that Kansas was able to get the number four seed in the Midwest region. So if they were able to make it to the second weekend, they would be at the Sprint Center. But the draw they have for the first game is against Northeastern. Northeastern is their 13 seed. The other side of this bracket in the first weekend is Auburn drew the five, and they will be playing New Mexico State. Those games are taking place in Salt Lake City, Utah. So first thoughts on this is, you know, it's good that Kansas is in a non-threatening environment, I think. It's not like, you know, they didn't get screwed over like a team like Tennessee did, having to go to Columbus, Ohio to play potentially Cincinnati in the second round. But they're definitely not going to be like a home crowd for them there. So overall thoughts that you have, Fetch, first of all, either on the location, the draw, or their first round opponent.
Well, I think there's certainly, you know, as in all tournaments, good and bad things. Start with the good. Kansas is going to have the shortest distance to travel compared to their first round opponent, Northeastern. And then their likely second round opponent, Auburn. So not only are they going to probably have the crowd on their side, but they're also going to, you know, just have the fewer miles to travel, fewer time zones to cross and stuff like that. A lot of studies have shown that that's really, really important in the NCAA tournament. So definitely a positive. That's about where the positives end, though. The negatives are, I mean, Northeastern is a really tough draw. You know, they don't really have the results this year. I mean, they got blasted by Syracuse, who was terrible. They got blasted by Virginia Tech, who's, you know, obviously good, but not like one of the elite teams. I don't think they're 11th in KenPom, but I think that's maybe a little bit inflated. So the results haven't totally been there, but just their profile is pretty scary. 22nd in terms of three-pointers attempted, 14th in terms of three-point percentage. So to break that down a little bit more, they take 46% of their shots from behind the arc, which might even go up given some of the issues Kansas has had covering the three-point line.
Oh, yeah.
And shoot almost 39% from three. So definitely you can envision a scenario where they're shooting, 35 threes and, maybe making 20 of them or some insane number like that. But so that's going to be difficult. I do think, and I haven't dug into anything in terms of watching them play, but, they don't have a lot of height. So I think it's going to be an issue where Dieter Klaassen is going to be able to score quite a few points. I think it's probably going to be Big Dave's going to be able to score quite a few points as well. Probably a pretty good game for Mitch Lightfoot as well, because he's shown the ability to score in the post, and he can also defend on that three-point line. So I do think Kansas is going to sneak by Northeastern, but definitely I think probably one of those games where, it's 4 minutes left and they haven't put them away yet.
Yeah. I'm not expecting this to be an easy game for them at all, and I am going to see what I can do about getting someone on the podcast for depending on when they play, it'll either be a Thursday morning or a Friday morning episode. To go ahead and actually talk about this and get kind of a better view of the actual people that are following this team. But just based off of their KenPom profile, yeah, it looks like they're not a very good defensive team at all. They're ranked 145th. So Kansas is going to get their offensive opportunities. But really it comes down to they are going to have to find a way to limit, those three-pointers. The other thing that they don't do very well is they do not get offensive rebounds very well. So Kansas should be able to limit, you know, limit the damage by not allowing them to get a lot of second chance points. And then this defense for Northeastern does not turn people over very much. They let people shoot very well against them. They're ranked 221st overall in terms of effective field goal percentage. So, you know, and really their main strength is in terms of defending is on the 3-point line. So since, you know, that actually matches up pretty well for Kansas, they are abysmal inside. And I think a lot of that has to do with their size. So Kansas, right, should abuse them completely inside. I do agree that I think Mitch Lightfoot's going to have a very good game. He's very good against these smaller lineups, very active and able to affect a lot of shots, even out on the 3-point line. So, you know, I'm expecting Mitch Lightfoot to feature heavily in this game. And I do think that Kansas might be able to actually make this one a little bit comfortable if they can effectively disrupt the 3-point shooting. I just don't think that Northeastern would have enough inside to be able to turn to that and force Kansas to, you know, back off of them on the 3-point line. So as long as they can get hands in guys' faces and, you know, they, you know, Northeastern doesn't go ballistic in shooting all of these guarded shots that seem to always go in against Kansas this year, I think they have a really, really good shot. The one thing that does concern me is, you know, they have five guys. Four guys that are above 40% 3-point shooting on the year. And let's see, three of those guys have shot over 130 3-pointers, which is just absolutely insane. The only guy, the leading 3-point shooter by percentage is Tomas Murphy, who has only shot 26. So he's made 12 of 26. I'm not really counting him. And now at this point, their four best 3-point shooters, all shoot right around 40%, and have all shot well over 100 3-pointers. So they love to shoot the 3-pointer. They're all really good at it. That is definitely my biggest concern going into this game is Kansas is going to have to guard the 3-point line well. But the fact that, again, that they can't get inside to really take advantage of that, you know, if Kansas is guarding the 3-point line very well, gives me a lot of comfort, I think, in that Kansas is going to have a decent shot at maybe putting this one away a little bit earlier than people might expect. I do expect, though, Kansas to be a very, very heavy upset special pick from a lot of people around the nation.
Yeah, I think probably just because of how many threes they take and, you know, Kansas definitely being, you know, worse this year than they have been for a while. One other quick note on Northeastern, this is just kind of a fun little thing that probably only I care about, but Northeastern probably going to be one of just three teams to make both the NCAA tournament in basketball and in hockey this year. The other two being Ohio State and believe it or not, Arizona State, who probably shouldn't be in either tournament for various reasons, but that's a little bit beyond the scope of our podcast, I guess.
That's crazy. I would not have thought. Arizona State is the one that's really, really surprising. But I would have thought if there was any other schools that did that, it'd be like a Michigan or a Michigan State or something like that. So that's definitely a little surprising to me.
Those usually, you know, those Big Ten teams, and also obviously the you know, Vermonts of the world and stuff like that, teams that can snag a auto berth from whatever basketball conference they're in. Those are kind of usually your best bets. But yeah, Arizona State, is relevant to, you know, maybe what we'll talk about in terms of seeding, but basically are only going to get in. And hockey has, unlike basketball, they have an objective criteria for making the tournament. So before Selection Sunday even occurs, we'll know which teams are going to be in the NCAA tournament, which is, you know, a little different. But Arizona State is going to make it just by virtue of playing a bunch of terrible teams and beating them all, which, you know, whether that's good or not, I mean, that kind of ties into what happened with, say, a Texas Tech versus, you know, Kansas's schedule and how they did against a little bit tougher schedule.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so talking about potential second-round matchups, first of all, who would you rather see between Auburn and New Mexico State? And then who do you think is most likely that we're actually going to see?
Yeah. You know, obviously you'd rather play New Mexico State. I mean, New Mexico State played KU pretty tough this year in Kansas City, actually. So they're not exactly a walk in the park by any means, but Auburn's rated higher than Kansas on KenPom, and also like Northeastern has a profile that really troublesome for the Jayhawks. Shoot the eighth most threes in the country, make 38% of them, and they also lead the country in terms of forcing turnovers. So definitely a team that I think Kansas would want to stay away from. They don't have, you know, it's weird. They are fifth in the country in terms of blocking shots. They don't have a ton of size. It's just kind of a bunch of guys pitching in. So it's not like, you know, an elite shot blocker. But at the same time, you know, Kansas has had trouble scoring on non-elite shot blockers. So definitely not in a rush to play Auburn, that's for sure. I'll take my chances with New Mexico State.
Yeah, I mean, I want to agree with you. I really, really do. But I'm also really scared of this New Mexico State team. I mean, like you said, they played Kansas really, really well earlier this year, and they've only gotten better since then. Also, the fact that they're going to be – I think they're actually one of the closest teams to that Salt Lake City, Utah regional that are going to be there, or that pod so that are going to be there. So they're probably going to have a significant crowd advantage, one, for being the lower seed, you know, making it to that second game. But also, too, just, you know, being a lot easier for their fans to be able to travel there. So if they do face Kansas, I do think it'll be a more hostile environment than if Kansas were to face Auburn. So there's a lot of arguments, I think, for not wanting to face either one of these teams. And I mean, logic tells me that Auburn's the better team, and the fact that they just ran through LSU and then Tennessee to win the SEC tournament definitely kind of makes you weary to want to face them. But I am definitely concerned. You know, Kansas seems to play decently well, or actually really well, against good teams when they have a crowd advantage. It still may not be enough to beat a team like Auburn, but I do think that they at least have a better shot from that standpoint if they were to face Auburn than a New Mexico State. But, you know, granted, if it, you know, it, I don't think it really matters who they play if that team is just going to go off from three. And both of these teams, I think, have the potential to do that. Auburn more so than New Mexico State, but like I said, I don't really like either of these matchups. So how confident or I guess how likely do you think it is possible for Kansas to make it out of this first weekend?
Man, you know, if we're putting a percentage on it, I mean, yeah. I'm going to go something like 25%. I mean, I hate to sound so pessimistic, but, you know, Northeastern is a team that is primed for an upset, even though I do think Kansas is going to get by them. And then they're probably not going to be favored against Auburn if they play Auburn. So if that's the case, you're asking them to win a game where they're probably like a, you know, 70-30 favorite against Northeastern, and then they're probably like a 60-40 underdog somewhere in there against Auburn. So not too optimistic that they're going to make it to KC, to be honest with you, but, you know, if they put together a weekend, next weekend, like they did this last weekend, even including the fact that they did not play well, for huge stretches against Iowa State, you never know. But yeah, I just think it's a really tough draw, other than the fact that Kansas is, reasonably close to their first and second round games and the other teams that they're going to have to play, other than, like you said, if New Mexico State makes it.
Yeah.
Have to travel quite a bit further.
Yeah, I do think it's kind of funny that I actually feel more confident about their chances if they were to get to the Sweet 16 than I do about them actually getting to the Sweet 16. Like, you know, despite the fact that they probably have to play North Carolina in the Sprint Center, given Bill Self's history against North Carolina while he was at Kansas, and just the fact that, you know, they would be at home. It would be a game that a lot of the Kansas City crowd would get up for. Like, I think they have a really big boost if they were able to get there. The big problem, I think, is, you know, I probably am even more pessimistic than you on them actually getting there, just because I don't like any of the matchups against any of these three teams in the pod against Salt Lake City. They're not going to have any kind of crowd advantage out there. You know, I have a hard time seeing this team getting past the pod. I would love for them to do it. You know, I'm not rooting for it, obviously, but I don't see how it happens. I would probably give it a 15 to 20% chance for them to, you know, advance past that first weekend. So, Hate to bring the entire podcast down, but I think that's what we're going to have to do at this point. So looking ahead, let's not focus on KU's path anymore. Let's take a look at the rest of this Midwest bracket. So UNC gets the one seed. We'll be playing against Iona. Their 8-9 game is Utah State and then Washington as the 8-9 teams. Then down at the bottom of the bracket, Kentucky gets the 2 seed, and they are playing against, I don't actually have the name of the team, I just have the initials, ACU here.
Abilene Christian, I believe.
Abilene Christian, right. The 7 seed there is Wofford, and the 10 seed is Seton Hall. Wofford is a team that kind of surprised me. I didn't really know where they were going to seed them, but I could have seen them getting a little bit higher or maybe a little bit lower than here. But that is actually a team that I think a lot of people are excited about. And the fact that they drew Kentucky as their 2 seed is probably a little bit of a downer for those that were hoping that they could do something. Houston got the 3, which if for anybody that pays attention to Twitter, in a conversation with you and then Rock Chalk Blog, I completely predicted the fact that, you know, Kansas would get the 1, I'm sorry, that UNC would get the 1, Kansas would get the 4 going against them, and that Kentucky and Houston would be the 2 and 3 there. So, yay me. But then Iowa State gets the 6 seed here, and then Ohio State gets the 11 seed. That is all down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, Houston will get a little bit of an advantage there in terms of crowd, just being a little bit closer to Tulsa, but this Iowa State fan base travels really well. You know, and then, of course, if they were able to get through there, you know, the potential of having both Kansas and Iowa State back in Kansas City for the Midwest Regional, I have to imagine that everybody else in the bracket that would have to face them there is not really happy about those possibilities. So what, having run through all of that, what are your overall thoughts about this bracket? You know, kind of specifically the top 4 seeds and then kind of rounding out the rest of the region.
Yeah. What a gift for Iowa State. I mean, their resume this year is basically nothing, you know, no out of conference wins,
right,
to speak of, and then they go 9-9 in Big 12 play. Really, only beating, you know, they beat Texas Tech once, they beat K State once, and they beat Kansas once, and then they go out and win the Big 12 tournament, and then they get to go right back to KC, and they get to play the worst 3 seed. I mean, that just seems insane to me that they would get. You know, I would trade places with them in a heartbeat. Because, you know, I don't really think Kentucky is great shakes either as a 2 seed. So definitely a gift to Iowa State. I don't know that they're going to make an Elite 8 run or anything like that. But, you know, you couldn't have drawn up much better of a road for them to do so, considering who they get to play against and where they get to play. I do think that, you know, maybe their crowd advantage will be a little bit lessened if they do make the Sweet 16, because it's not like they could buy those tickets huge in advance like they did for the Big 12 tournament. But yeah, I mean, I don't think Kentucky's going to want to play them in KC. So definitely, you know, kind of a just ridiculous that the committee would give a 6 seed a road like that. But I guess that's the reward you get for going 500 in your conference.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you know, Kansas City, they do try to keep people as close to home as possible without giving overwhelming advantages. And the fact that that Iowa State travels so well to Kansas City, it probably isn't as well known nationally, I think, as most people would think, you know, being here in the Big 12. You know, Kansas City isn't particularly close to Iowa State, to the Ames. I mean, it's not like super far away, and it's definitely the closest one for them, but you wouldn't immediately think, you know, huge crowd advantage for them, especially since, you know, like, I don't think Kentucky wanted to go out west, you know, and I mean, you know, Kentucky as probably the third best number 2 seed, you know, it makes sense for me that they would be put here in Kansas City. Like, they wouldn't be super upset about that. And it's just kind of unlucky that Iowa State, I do question Iowa State getting all the way up to a 6. I mean, I understand that they had a decent run in the Big 12 tournament, but, you know, facing a Baylor team that was, you know, having problems with injuries with Mekhi Mason and then, facing an injured, you know, Kansas State team, with Dean Wade being out, and then, you know, beating Kansas obviously was fairly impressive the way that they were able to do it. But, you know, I don't think that run there overcomes the fact that they were a 500 team in conference. Unless you're saying that the Big 12 conference is held in such high esteem that finishing, you know, 500 in the Big 12 which that's not the impression that I'm getting from, you know, national talking heads and all of that, that people are saying the Big 12 is such a good conference this year, you know? And so, yeah, a six definitely seems like a gift for them. And it's kind of just really fortunate for them that they have a fairly good road. You know, it's one of those, if you're looking for a team out of this entire bracket that could make a run all the way to the Final Four, you know, outside of the top four seeds in each region, Iowa State is by far the biggest favorite for that because of location and because of the fact that, you know, they are going to have a huge advantage. And anybody that is coming to Kansas City, you know, that is not a Kentucky fan or a UNC fan is probably going to be rooting for Iowa State. Like if it's not one of the fans that bought their ticket specifically for their team making it to Kansas City, the hometown fans in Kansas City are probably going to root for an Iowa State unless they're playing KU in that, you know, in that final there. And man, that wouldn't that be great to have a KU versus Iowa State, you know, rematch in the for a chance to go to the Final Four. But anyway, okay. Any other thoughts about this this Midwest bracket before we run out of time for the other ones?
I think we'll probably have plenty more on this one as we go forward. Yeah, we could definitely hit the other ones quickly.
Yeah, okay. So real quick, I'm going to go ahead and throw it to a quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast. And we're back. Okay, so let's just blast through the rest of these real quick. Duke got the overall number one seed out in the East Regional. They will play the winner of the playoff or the play-in game. I don't actually remember which one it is, but that's not really that important. Not that we're, I don't think we're really expecting them to give them much of a challenge. Their 8-9 game is VCU versus UCF. Then the 5 seed there is Mississippi State playing Liberty, Virginia Tech playing against St. Louis, as the 4-13 there. The 6 seed is Maryland. They will be playing a play-in game. I believe that they will be playing the winner of Belmont and Temple. And then LSU is the 3 seed playing against Yale. And then the 7 seed is Louisville playing against Minnesota out in Des Moines. And Michigan State is playing against Bradley as a 2-15. Any teams that jump out from you there, either getting a really, really favorable seed or having a tough road or kind of getting screwed over here?
Well, you know, I like Michigan State. I think they have a chance to make the Final Four, but really this seems like four bye games for Duke. I mean, I think Virginia Tech, beat them or played them close or something like that when they didn't have Zion, so who knows. But, yeah, I mean, it's just this looks like a pretty easy road for Duke to the Final Four, which I guess when you're the number one overall seed, in some sense it probably should be, but yeah, you know, I think you can set your watch to Duke getting a favorable draw in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, pretty much. I was shocked that they were the overall number one seed, to be honest. Like, I mean, I understand that, you know, they had a decent number of losses when Zion was out and he's back and he looked really, really good coming back. But, you know, I think that Virginia had a better overall resume there, especially, you know, well, and then UNC had a really impressive resume as well, even though Duke got that final win. I just think that it was the whole Zion effect was really all it was at this point. And you're right. They really set this path up for them really, really well. Obviously any of the ACC teams that got to go to, Washington DC were going to have huge advantages there. But what I found interesting was the fact that Virginia Tech, you know, is going to be Duke's number four. You know, and then Maryland has a potential there, to be the number or the, Sweet 16 matchup there against Michigan State. Not that I really trust Maryland to make it that far, but it's interesting to see that they're setting up these potential matchups in the Sweet 16 of fairly competitive games that we had in the Big Ten and then the ACC earlier this year. But so who do you think is going to make big runs? Obviously Duke. Do you think that Michigan State's going to have a fairly easy road to be able to face them in the regional final there?
Well, yeah, I don't know about easy. Although, you know, if LSU is without its coach for the tournament, I mean, it's tough to see them doing a ton. So yeah, I mean, this is definitely every year there's one region that really seems set up for a 1-2 Elite Eight. This definitely seems like that year, or like this year is that game, that region, excuse me. You remember last year, I mean, Duke and Michigan State were on course to meet in the Sweet 16 last year in the same region, but Michigan State blew it against Syracuse, so you never know what's going to happen, but Yeah, this definitely seems like the one region this year where it's really set up for a one versus two.
Yeah, I think this also has the best chance for a pretty big Cinderella team in Belmont this year, actually. Now, of course, I say that, and they're probably going to lose in the first four against Temple and kind of ruin that entire vibe there. But, you know, Maryland is a very, very weak team as a number six. LSU, without their coach, I think is going to have a lot of problems. Yet even if Yale upsets them, I don't think it'll be because Yale is that great of a team. I think it'll just be because LSU is kind of trying to get out of their own way with all of the Will Wade rumors and everything out there. So Belmont could have a pretty good chance at getting to the Sweet 16 here. And then at that point, you know, they have the ability, I think, to push Michigan State, but I do think that Michigan State would win that game. So yeah, I mean, barring a crazy upset, like a 215 upset or something like that, I do think we're going to see Duke and Michigan State. I mean, it's set up really well for that, there. So, okay, let's go ahead and jump over to the west or to the south, actually. Virginia gets the number one seed here playing against Gardner-Webb. Mississippi is the 8 against Oklahoma is the 9. Number 5, Wisconsin against the number 12, Oregon. Number 4, Kansas State going against UCI. And I don't actually remember who UCI is, but that's all right. It's like
Irvine. UC Irvine.
Okay, there we go. The number 6 is Villanova against St. Mary's. Number 3 is Purdue against Old Dominion. As it's the 14. Number 7 is Cincinnati against the 10, Iowa, and then number 2, Tennessee against the 15, Colgate. So who jumps out to you from there? Either, you know, well, what jumps out to you from there?
Well, you know, speaking of bye games, I mean, it really seems set up for Virginia to finally make that elusive run to the Final Four. I mean, K-State is the 4 seed with probably no Dean Wade. And then, you know, Purdue is a 3 seed. You never know what's going to happen with them. I mean, Carson Edwards could get hot. He's been really good this year, and hasn't really gotten the publicity for it. Tennessee just got blown out by Auburn and kind of doesn't have the, you know, overall, I guess, talent and athleticism. You know, they kind of get by on experience and skill more than anything else. So there, you know, I'm not discounting Tennessee and, trying not to discount anyone else, but I really think Villanova is probably the team that poses the greatest threat to Virginia, just given the number of threes they allow and stuff, and the number of threes that Villanova takes. So, definitely looking like Virginia has, just as easy of a path as Duke to the Final Four. Maybe, you know, their slower pace, you know, who knows, maybe that, fewer possessions and everything like that lets them get tripped up a little bit easier. Although I think, Ken Pomeroy did a thing where that's maybe not a thing as much as people think, but yeah, I think it's set up to be Virginia in the Elite Eight and in the Final Four. And yeah, I mean, I'm staring pretty hard at that Villanova as a 6 seed as kind of my run to the Elite Eight sleeper special.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tempted just because of how many threes they take. But the one that the team I think that got a really big gift here was Oregon, being able to play against Wisconsin and San Jose. And then being able to potentially play, you're right, against the Kansas State team that, you know, is really, really dealing with injury issues. Although it is notable that last year they were basically in the same situation. You know, they had a Dean Wade potential injury, you know, going into the NCAA tournament, got really, really lucky. You know, I tweeted this out when the brackets came out that Kansas State is set up to benefit again from a early Virginia upset to make a huge run in the tournament. So it's set up perfectly for them to make an Elite Eight run if Virginia were to stumble. And, you know, I think as much as I'm shocked that Oklahoma got a number 9 seed, I do think that they have the ability to give West Virginia a very, very good game. Obviously no one's expecting another 1 versus 16 upset. But I think Oklahoma has kind of just exactly what you need to be able to give Virginia a really weird game and potentially upset them. I'm not going to pick it, but I do think that that Virginia does not have as easy of a road as they probably would like, being the overall number 2, in the tournament. I agree. Over on the other side, I do think that Villanova has a decent shot. I do think that Purdue, though, is a much better team. I personally probably have Purdue coming out to the Elite Eight from this bracket. The committee did Tennessee absolutely no favors having them go to Columbus, Ohio, facing Cincinnati potentially in that second round. That's that's basically, I mean, it's not exactly a home game, but it's only a couple hours from Cincinnati over to Columbus. It's going to be a de facto home game for them if they make it to play against Tennessee. And Tennessee, you know, does not, they're similar to Kansas in that they have not done very well with hostile crowds this year. And so I do see a situation there. I think that Cincinnati has a very, very good opportunity to make it to the Sweet 16, at which point they will lose all of their advantages in terms of location. And a team like Purdue should clean them up pretty quickly there. So I think ultimately I have probably Virginia versus Purdue for the Final Four coming out of this region. But I would not be surprised to see any of these other teams really, you know, throw a wrench in those plans. So any other final thoughts about the South before we move on to the West?
No, I think we're ready to move on.
All right. So let's wrap it up here with the West really quick. Gonzaga gets the overall number one here. I'm sorry. Gonzaga gets the last number one seed. Will be out in Salt Lake City as well with Kansas in the pods there. They will play the winner of, I believe it's FDU and PV, but I am not certain. Don't quote me on that. Their 8-9 game is Syracuse versus Baylor. And then the 5-12 is Marquette versus Murray State. Florida State gets the number four seed against Vermont as a 13 seed. Then Buffalo will be playing as the sixth seed, will be playing the winner of the play-in game of Arizona State and San Jose. I think that's San Jose, right? SJU, I'm not actually sure if that's correct now that I'm looking at it.
St. John's.
St. John's, I'm sorry about that, St. John's. And then their three seed is Texas Tech, and then North Kentucky, or Northern Kentucky, as the 14. Then Nevada and Florida is the 7-10 game, with Michigan and Montana being the 2-15. So, overall thoughts about this one? I'll let you go ahead and go first again.
Yeah, I think, obviously, you know, I think the game of the first round probably is that Marquette-Murray State game with Marcus Howard and John Morant. Other than that, it seems really weird to me that Texas Tech got a 3-seed and Florida State got a 4-seed. You know, beyond what happened in the conference tournament, I mean, Texas Tech, you know, I guess I'd have to go look up their schedule, but I guess I'll just do it right now. We'll have some off the radio. Their best non-conference win, looks like is Nebraska, who, you know, was not anywhere near making the NCAA tournament. And then, you know, I mean, didn't really, yeah, they won the Big 12 or co-won the Big 12, in a down year for the league and then, you know, lost in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. Definitely a good team. Probably the best team in the Big 12 this year, but, probably not a 3-seed profile. I think would have made more sense to flip them, and Florida State. But, you know, I guess I will say, unlike, Iowa State, who managed to turn, a pretty terrible resume into a gift, of a bracket, Texas Tech, you know, no great shakes for them. I mean, Northern Kentucky shoots a ton of threes, and given the amount of threes that Texas Tech gives up, that's no walk in the park. And then Buffalo is no walk in the park either. In the second round, and then obviously, I mean, I think Michigan is a really good team. They were looking like maybe the best team in college basketball to start the year, and then I think Gonzaga is pretty underrated as well. So this to me is probably the second toughest bracket. I think the Midwest is probably the toughest, and then I think the West is probably the second toughest. So those are kind of the two things that jumped out at me for sure.
Yeah, the thing that jumps out to me, I think this is probably the toughest 8-9 game for the one seed, just because Syracuse with that zone, I mean, they still trip up a lot of people with that zone, and they've shown a lot of flashes, giving Duke a lot of problems. I believe they played Duke once when Duke had Zion and actually was in that game until really, really late. And Baylor, if they have Mekhi Mason back full strength, ready to go, they are a very explosive team, can give Gonzaga a lot of problems. Now, the fact that Gonzaga is going to be so close to home both of those times, like, I'm not really expecting an upset there, but if you're going to pick an upset in one of those games for sure, that's the one that's easily the most likely. You're right that Florida State got absolutely no favors. They're going to be up in Hartford, Connecticut to play a Vermont team that's not going to be very far, you know, from home there. They're going to have a distinct disadvantage in terms of location. And, you know, like you said, Vermont is a team that can match them 3-point for 3-point. You know, Florida State, they've gone on their little run by shooting lights out from three. Vermont's not going to shy away from that. They can match them at that same rate. So it's going to be a real interesting kind of strength on strength. That other game with Marquette and Murray State is a similar sort of thing. It's a strength on strength there. And so we're going to see who comes out of both of those games. It should be a really entertaining bracket overall, I think. Like you said, with Texas Tech, they're going to have tough games, but I think all of those are going to be entertaining. Nevada and Florida should be, I think that might be the biggest matchup in terms of the one that people are talking about, because both of those teams are going to trade blows all game long. Florida upsetting LSU, and yeah, you know, they're going to have a lot of fun there. It's going to be an interesting game. And Michigan, I do think that Michigan is probably going to have the easiest path coming out of here. They should be able to handle either Nevada or Florida pretty simply. They might have some problems with Texas Tech if Texas Tech can get there. But I'm not so sure that they would be able to. Texas Tech is going to have a really, really good offensive output in this tournament to really keep up with any of the teams that are on their side of the bracket. So, but ultimately I do think that Gonzaga is probably going to come out of this bracket despite all the problems that they're going to have. And Michigan, I think, will end up beating them in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. So, all right. Any other final thoughts? Do you want to do any way too early Final Four picks at this point, or do you want to have some time to think about it and we can talk about those next week?
No, let's do it right now. Screw it. let's go. Duke and Virginia. Let's go. Man, let's go. I know, right? Let's go Duke, Virginia, Michigan, and North Carolina. I really do not feel great about three number one seeds in the Final Four.
I don't feel great about any of that, honestly. Like, I think that Duke is probably the biggest shoe-in at this point, but I do think that they could get surprised by somebody. Virginia, I have absolutely no confidence in. I do think that Purdue is actually going to come out of that region. Like I said, I think that that Tennessee is going to get upset. I do think that Virginia is going to get upset, either by a, you know, coming out of nowhere team like Wisconsin, or they're going to have an issue with a team like Oklahoma, like I said. So I have let's see, Duke and Purdue. I agree with you on Michigan. I do think that they're probably the strongest team overall. And I don't think, I mean, Gonzaga is probably the most likely to come out just because of location, but I do think that Michigan's offense is strong enough, especially the way that they, were able to kind of finish up the season there. And so I will go ahead and give that to them. Despite the fact that they had a heartbreaking loss against Michigan State in the Big Ten title game. The hardest one for me is this Midwest, because, you know, if KU somehow gets to Kansas City without Iowa State being there, I think that they're probably the favorite to come out if they make it to the Sweet 16, but I just don't have any confidence they're actually going to get there. I think Iowa State is going to get to Kansas City. I really do. I think that they'll beat Houston to get there. The question is going to be, you know, is Kentucky going to be able to get past a Wofford team that seems to be really hot coming out of nowhere? And I don't think Iowa State will match up very well against Kentucky. So if Kentucky can get there, I do think that they have the best shot of coming out of that region. I'm just concerned about any particular one of those teams coming out, but I will go ahead and pick Kentucky because I think they're the most likely. So let's see. So you had Duke, Virginia, Michigan, and then UNC. And so I went ahead with Duke, let's see, Purdue, Michigan, and then Kentucky. So I only have one seed, and you have three of them. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. Who do you have as your championship, assuming that those four come out?
Yeah, I'm going to go boring again. I'm gonna say North Carolina over Duke.
Wow.
I don't know. I just can't shake, though. You know, in years past, I was a little bit more, crazy with my picks and stuff. And obviously, you know, chalk doesn't happen all the time, but I just think this year that the top handful of teams are so much better,
right,
than everyone else. You know, in the past it was, you know, the difference between maybe the third best team and the eighth best team or whatever was negligible. But this year I just think those top few teams are so much better than everyone else. So, I'm going chalk. Obviously, you know, anything can happen, but I just don't feel comfortable enough with anyone else to pick too huge of an upset. Of course, obviously that's, you know, there's huge upsets every year, it seems like, and, you know, crappy teams making it to the Elite Eight and even the Final Four. So, you never know. I mean, anything can happen, which is what makes this tournament the, for my money, the best event in sports. But yeah, I just think that North Carolina and Duke have proven to be two of the three best teams all year. I mean, I think Virginia's right there as well, and I don't really see any reason to go away from them.
I'm going to get insane on you. I'm going to make a few people that I know pretty happy. I am going to actually say, with those four that make it, that location is going to matter, that Duke is going to have an off game, and I'm going to pick Purdue to upset Michigan for the national title there. So,
wow.
I know. I feel like going crazy. Honestly, I really should go with Duke like you did, but partly for entertainment value and partly because I'll go ahead at this point when it really doesn't matter to make a few people that I know happy in the podcasting world. I'm going to go ahead and pick Purdue to win the national title. So, I know everyone can laugh at me in a few weeks here when I'm clearly wrong, or even next week, you know, when Purdue gets upset by Villanova in the second round, you know, feel free to laugh. And I probably won't actually pick it in any of my brackets, but, for the sake of entertainment value here, I'll go ahead and make that pick. So, all right. Any other final thoughts before we get out of here?
Nope, I don't think so.
All right, then we'll go ahead and leave it there. Once again, thank you so much for joining me, Fetch. And we will catch you next time.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right.
That'll do it for today's episode. There's not really a lot of recap since we just did all of the look ahead. So at this point, I'm just going to say thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. It was a lot of fun this entire season. And as we're getting ready to close up this season, I just wanted to kind of reflect on everything that we've done this season. So hopefully we have another couple weeks worth of episodes as the Jayhawks travel through the tournament. But either way, it's been really great to have you guys listening to the podcast this season. If you haven't already, please do find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, all that fun stuff. Rate, subscribe, 5 stars, nice comments, nice reviews, all that fun stuff. You know, it really does help you get the podcast out there so that we can come back even stronger than before and give you guys more great content next year. So once again, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you next time on the Brock Talk Podcast.